Welcome to the Emo Social Club podcast, the podcast about music, news, and interviews. I am Brian. I'm doing this as a video, too, as you can see it here if you're watching this. That's because this is the first episode of the Emo Social Club podcast that will be presented on the Emo Social Club podcast YouTube channel for video. So if you want to watch this video, we have a brand new channel available on the YouTube platform where you can watch it. And we're doing this a bit for the algorithm side of it. The interviews are usually a bit longer. They're a little less edited. They're more like kind of just conversational. So we thought that maybe this would be better for the algorithm to get it out to more people so they could see these interviews when we do them versus our main channel where we have some shorter videos. They're more highly edited. There's a lot more of us like talking about certain things and not to a guest. It's more me and Lizzie just having conversations back and forth. So we'll have links to all of that. The Emo Social Club podcast channel is down below. So make sure that you are subscribing to that because it will have all of our new interviews over there. We'll also be releasing them every other week. So this is our first week of that, and the next one will be in 2 weeks from now. This interview, this episode, is with While She Sleeps, a band that Lizzie is a huge fan of, so I'm going to talk about them real quick for her. But yeah, we had a great conversation with Laws, the singer. It was right before the UK transitioned into their daylight savings time. So the interview happened a bit early in the day for me and Lizzie. We always say we don't become musicians because we want to be on time to things or be early to things or have to wake up in the morning. And then here we are, music industry waking up early. So we did it and we had a great conversation with Laws. What an absolute gentleman. And, this whole episode is absolutely great. While She Sleeps is a great band, super talented, great new album coming out. And so we talk a lot about that. They talk about their tour with Architects up this next few months. So yeah, we got a lot of good stuff coming up. So stay tuned. If you like this episode, though, you got to make sure to like, comment, and subscribe on all of our social media channels. You can check us out over on Instagram at Emo Social Club. That's the best place to let us know what you think. Comment on the photo, comment on the reels, comment on all the stuff that we post about it. Because we got a lot of stuff that we post from these episodes over there. You can also find us on TikTok and Twitter at XEmoSocialClubX. Obviously, TikTok, if you're a TikToker, while we still have it, while it's still sticking around, fingers crossed, you can check it out there too. Obviously, we have the YouTube channel where you can watch the video version of that. Like I said off the top, Emo Social Club Podcast. The link will be down below. Should be at Emo Social Club Podcast, youtube.com/that. It's hard to tell. YouTube does like ads now. It's weird. But we have the links to all that, and you'll be able to find that at all the other places. Obviously, if you're here and you're listening to it on our podcast channel, you know, maybe that's where you like it. Maybe you don't need to go find the video version. But it's there. It's always there. You can see Laws' beautiful face talking to us. You can see our way too early in the day drinking coffee faces over there, too, if you are into that. Also, letting you know, we have our Patreon. We are charging very little for it. It's a dollar to join the Patreon. We have behind the scenes content. We have cut content. We got all kinds of stuff that we post over there. Some of these shorter interviews, like this one with Laws, we don't have any additional content. We just want to give you as much as we can to the main channel. So all of this is there. But we have some extra content from our interviews with Motel Breakfast, Teens in Trouble, Hungover. We have a lot of additional interviews coming up that might be a little bit longer, and we cut a little bit of those out. So you can always go over to Patreon and subscribe for $1, patreon.com/emosocialclub. And we have some additional content, like behind the scenes stuff. If you like me and Lizzie, if you like us talking, you know, just kind of vibing and saying the most random things you ever heard to each other, we have a lot of that content over there too. So you can always give us a dollar and you get to see all of that. We ask for very little because we just need a little bit to keep the lights on at the Emo Social Club headquarters. Yeah, I think that's it. So let's go ahead and let's get into this episode. Here is our interview with Laws of While She Sleeps. Welcome to the Emo Social Club podcast, the podcast about music, news, and interviews. I am Brian.
And I'm Lizzie, and we're here today with Laws of While She Sleeps. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
No problem. Thanks very much for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about you and what you do in the band. I know you're the vocalist, but maybe the people out there don't know you're the vocalist. So.
I'm quite dumb. Don't really know much about much. The only thing I've ever really put my mind to is shouting, and I'm not that great at that. But you know, through vocal surgeries and trying a technique and living a bit more healthy, I think I'm getting a better gauge on it. But stoked to be talking to you guys today ahead of our new album release, Self-Help.
Hell yeah. We listened to prepare for this, listen to, I was about to say Like the Flowers, but To the Flowers.
Yeah.
Listen to it. And I think it's awesome. I was like, holy shit, this is very like, I watched the video, so I'm like, this is a...
The video was wild.
Yeah, it's a cinematic song and a cinematic video that went into this. And tell us a little bit about that, because I was like, how do you come up with making a movie for your music video, like a beautiful film for your video, and also making like such a cinematic song as well?
Yeah, well, that was, you know, internally with the band, that was one of the conversations, because I feel like the way that music's digested now, and, you know, I come from an era where I'd skateboard down to my local record store, pick up a CD that I thought looked like something I'd enjoy, skate home, listen to it in its entirety back to back, and read all the lyrics through, look at the book and the images and all that stuff. And I think that kind of thing is kind of dying now. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously there's people out there that still do that, but it's kind of feel like it's a bit of a dying breed. So with that in mind, it's kind of like, it feels the same in a way for content, if you like, and how people are, you know, viewing things. And there's a lot of more sort of Instagram, TikTok ways to put out stuff. And I think that, like you said before, like the emotion that is invoked with that song, we really needed to match it with what we put out there. So we had loads of internal conversations about, do we do something more viral that's for social media, or do we do it a bit more old school and just do a fucking like film type thing for the video? And I think, like you said, the song for us needed a full on video to go with it. So we sort of just decided to set about doing basically a short film. Our bass player Aaron's moved heavily into film. He's been working on loads of sort of like horror shorts and stuff like that, and actually like putting them into film festivals and stuff. So for us, it was kind of a no-brainer to utilize his skill set and be like, right, let's get to it and make basically a short movie. It just felt like the song needed it. And I'm glad we did it that way, because it seems to have been received so well. Like, we put out 3 singles. It's easily gone down the best. And what's exciting for us about that is, like, we can put out some more hardcore type stuff, more like metalcore-y, you know, songs. But then our fan base also reacts so well to the sort of emotion that's invoked with a song like To the Flowers. And we've always had that running through our band, you know. We've always had those more, I wouldn't say ballads, but those more sort of emotional songs. That was the thinking behind it, really. We just felt like the song really needed like a short film to engage the viewer and listener and put across the emotion that we were trying to get across there.
Yeah, especially like on the album, it's the longest song on it. And I'm like, oh, this is the longest song. And it creates the While She Sleeps cinematic universe. So I thought it was very interesting, because listening to the rest of the album as well, because John was nice enough to send it over, it makes sense. It flows together well, and you're still maintaining kind of your original metalcore sound, but it feels like you're maturing it a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think that over the years working together, it's not always an easy thing to learn with your bandmates to sort of compromise, and what you might want to get out of music or an album might not be what another band member wants to get out of stuff. So it's taken us a while to sort of figure out how to work in our best way. I think that what's great about Self-Hell as a record, it's probably the most collective, the most collaborative album that we've put together. And I think that's because the way that we're working in the studio now is to let everyone have their chance to sort of breathe and get their ideas across. It's sort of always leaving an open door for something to just completely flip into a new idea or take shape in a certain way. So that's one of the main exciting things for me about Self-Hell as a record. It's very collaborative, and, you know, it goes through a lot of different genres, really. There's a bit of like 90s Britpop in there, like on first listen you get those elements, but also there's like a bit of breakbeat drumming, and then like interludes that are like cut up sections of music that sound a bit like Aphex Twin or something like that. So it's been really interesting putting it together, and honestly, I have to say it's been the funnest process in the studio for me, just to be able to be a bit more free. And the difficult thing for me as a singer is I don't play guitar or write music into a laptop or anything. So basically, I kind of just write dark poetry and hope that it'll fit. And so I just take from all these writings. Most of the time, it's like going back through a psychopath's diary or something. Like one day I've written down that everything's fucking dog shit and I just want to, you know, curl up and die. And then the next time I'm writing something, it might be like I'm more grateful about what's happening in my life. So it's a roller coaster of emotion in my writing. So I just try and pull from that and put that into songs. But like I say, it's been a very, very fun recording process this time. And the usual stuff that we're going through, like for anyone that's seen sort of our album documentaries and stuff like that, like the last couple of albums have been like hell. Do you know what I mean? Like some of us have been in hospital. Some of us have broken up with our girlfriends. Other people are going through grief. And it's just like always seems to be this like, not necessarily like an uphill struggle, but like we have to jump over loads of hurdles to get the job done. And but with this, it was a lot more fun. And yeah, like I say, a really enjoyable process.
Yeah, I imagine we always say like when you go through that turmoil, like it ends up being like some of your most interesting writing and creating something that's really meaningful and emotional. And it's like, I don't want anyone to have to go through that stuff to write a record. Like I'd rather you just be happy and like have a good time, but obviously, you know, it does through that it creates some good art and some good cathartic emotion that you can let out in that.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And as a screamer, you know, you get to do that. Not sure if we lost you. Sorry.
Just taking a second there. I was just agreeing and saying like I think that going through life experiences and hardships and trying to prevail through those things feels a little bit about, you know, the title of Self Hell and what the album represents is that sort of full scale of, you know, the roller coaster of emotion that happens daily. You know, you could be having the best day ever and you're hit with some news and it can be devastating news. So you never really know what's around the corner. And I think that's what's interesting about this record. Like 1 minute, it sounds quite punk rock or a bit hardcore-esque, and then, you know, you move to a song like To the Flowers or an interlude that's a bit more like it wants you to sort of meditate with it and have a moment before it goes into the next song. So all those things compiled together just make it for hopefully an interesting listen. And yeah, I'm excited to see what people think when it finally drops.
Yeah, I'm so I have my notes here about a recent interview you did with Kerrang about metalcore in general and the genre. And I growing up as a metalcore kid, keep up with it because I'm like, this is the genre that I love. This is the genre that I've grown up with for all this time. And I mean, I do think that metalcore just from its inception was always a genre that was very creative and had sort of open doors to other genres and other ideas that could come in. So doing a punk rock song or doing a breakbeat song, having electronic influence in it never really felt weird or different from what other genres are doing. It's like, no, this genre can have all of that. Do you think that's still the case with metalcore now, or how do you feel about metalcore like today?
I think, you know, I've been listening to metalcore for probably over 20 years, you know, and I think that I was one of those, you know, when bands like Azalea, Dying, All That Remains, Darkest Hour, Killswitch Engage, you know, when they sort of came onto the UK doorstep, if you like, I've never heard anything like it. And I just fell in love with metalcore. I was like, this is unbelievable. The first band I actually ever listened to was probably Azalea, Dying. And yeah, it blew my mind. It blew my mind that it could feel so heavy and aggressive and then have such beautiful sort of sing-alongs with it. And I still love metalcore as a genre. For me, though, over the years, I do feel like it's got a bit overcrowded. You know, you don't even have to try to find a new metalcore band. And I think what's the reason that's changed for me in terms of my love for metalcore is because all these sort of packages have come out now that you can get on your laptop, you know, like, I don't know, like Get Good Drums or whatever it is. And And it's like, it's so easy now to program that in and just sound like a metalcore band. And I think at some point it lost it, like for me anyway, lost a bit of its integrity. It just felt like everybody had so many, like every country had so many metalcore bands popping up. And I think that's just kind of what Edge does away from the straight up metalcore a little bit and made us want to just experiment and explore new sounds. Just because it felt like an overcrowded space, you know?
Especially, like, there was something that went kind of viral on Twitter at least last month, and it was this producer, Jairus Johnson. He had said, like, anybody can make this metalcore sound nowadays, and he's like, look, I just made this song in, like, 30 minutes, and I just had, like, I just repurposed some old lyrics I had, and I added these beats that I downloaded, and so that's what that kind of reminds me of.
Yeah,
in
for
a
sure.
Way.
So I think that's why we want to take ourselves out of our comfort zone a little bit and always try new things. If you go back through our back catalogue, like from album to album, we've always changed something up. You know, Brainwashed for us was like almost like a punk metal record. It had a lot of political standpoints in there. We were really angry and sort of screaming from this place of like being frustrated with like government and choices that our leaders make and that kind of thing. And then, like, so every album has it's still metalcore, but it always has a bit of a change of flavor. So I think that's the band we've always tried to be. We want to keep our fan base on its toes with what to expect. And we feel like if we do that, it makes it exciting. And, like, when you're a fan of the band, like, and they do something a little bit different, that can do one of two things. It can make you go, oh, it's not for me. Or you can enjoy the journey of the band sort of trying new things and go along with that. I personally like that. When a band changes something up and they try new things, I'm kind of all in for it. Give it a chance. Don't just dismiss it. And yeah, see how the record after that follows. So I guess there's a difference between like listening to songs as singles in a way and then going on a full journey with a band if you love the band that you're listening to, you know? So we feel like it keeps us interesting. It's certainly more interesting for us in the studio to try new things and have a lot of fun with it. And nine times out of 10 now, what we do is like sort of in the past, we would write something and be like, oh no, can we really do that? Will it like alienate our fan base? And now, like, I think through things that we have going on, like the Sleep Society and having such a strong fan base, has allowed us to be more confident and just relax a little bit and just enjoy the process and not sweat it too much, just have more fun. And I think when people hear Self Hell that have seen us live over the last couple of years, I think that I hope what they feel is that Self Hell as a record is a lot more representative now of the fun we're having in a live sense. We're not just like cut off black t-shirts and skinny jeans anymore. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit more like we're expressing ourselves in all areas, whether that's me wearing fishnet tights or whatever and doing headstands and cartwheels, whatever. It's just about sort of being free and enjoying the art that you're making and putting out there. And hopefully people can see that and resonate well with it.
No, that's awesome. And I think too, you kind of mentioned earlier just some of like the different influences, like musical influences that went into this, but also in like the presser statement that we got, you also kind of mentioned like childhood inspiration. So I'm wondering what type of childhood inspirations are we drawing from this upcoming record?
Yeah. Well, that's like, I think that myself and Sean, when we were younger, we kind of grew up on like early, like, dance records and stuff. I know that Sean's parents used to play him like a lot of like early dancey kind of stuff, and I'm talking when I'm like 13 years old, you know what I mean? I used to go like ice skating a lot, and they'd always play these like really chavvy dancey tunes, you know, like the ATBs, and they always have really infectious like synth riffs throughout them. And I think like Sean's lent back into that a little bit, where he got all of these vintage synths a couple of records ago, and he's just really enjoying that journey and reconnecting with a bit of that nostalgia that he grew up with. And likewise for me, like, I was a massive emo kid when I was younger, so I had like massive black hair, eyeliner, black nails, probably like 3 spiky belts, baggy pants, all that stuff. So it's just been fun to dip back into that a little bit and make some of my more cleaner, softer vocal melodies on the record have that sort of emo edge to them. But yeah, like I said, the record goes through so many different sort of nostalgic feelings and genres in a sense. I hope that when people listen, they can hear that influence coming through, you know, like a song that's on the record called Wildfire. That starts like a punk rock song. It sounds a bit like, I don't know, like early Alexis on Fire or something like that. And then out of nowhere, just turns into this like drum and bass tune, and the vocals go a little bit Radiohead style. So it's like, it's really nice to be able to explore all those different areas and listen to things, or, you know, be inspired by things that we've listened to growing up, not just what's, you know. I think what's fun about Self Hell as a record is that it doesn't follow the current trends of what's cool right now, but it still has those elements in there, you know. It's not like we've seen a band doing great things and tried to emulate that to elevate ourselves. It's like, I don't think we need to do that. I think the way that Sean Long plays guitar and the way that we use our voices, we don't sound like anyone else anyway. So what's nice when we say like influences, they are just sort of lightly influenced a section. It's not like we've heard something that we think's old school and that's gonna connect with people because it's a 20-year resurgence or whatever. It's just that it gives us a feeling of it being that, you know. Like, I think a lot of the stuff on the new record sounds very Britpop. I've been saying that it's like Britmosh. But it's all just a little flavour. It's a nod back to that, but it might not be that easy to figure out, like, to hear that on the surface.
Hey, hope you're enjoying this episode of the Emo Social Club podcast with While She Sleeps. Just jumping in here, because you can probably tell this is on a new channel, the Emo Social Club podcast channel. Make sure to subscribe. This is a brand new channel that we are putting all of our podcast interviews on. And so we need you to let the algorithm know that you should be checking it out here. So make sure to hit the subscribe button, hit a like, hit a comment if you feel so inclined. If you're a fan of While She Sleeps, or if you're a fan of us over at the Emo Social Club, we obviously have our main channel, which is just Emo Social Club, where we do album reviews, we do some React content, we do all kinds of other stuff. But all the interviews will live here. So if you're a fan of us interviewing some of your favorite bands, people in the scene, people who you love, people who you know, people who you cherish, make sure to subscribe here. And let's continue. Let's keep going. Here's more of our interview with While She Sleeps. I remember when everybody in mostly the metalcore scene was doing dubstep because it was like the moment, the trend. And then I'm like, oh, I did that in my band. I'm like, wait. Yeah, no, I shouldn't talk shit. I was the one doing that. See, like the current trend, the current sound of the moment.
For me, that, you know, when bands started merging the two, metalcore with like electronic stuff, I was kind of a bit like, oh, that's not for me. Like, but I think now that, like you say, like we've seen metalcore progress in so many ways, you want to do things that are fresh for you. You want to try new things out, you know? So, yeah, like I say, it's just about keeping it interesting for us and having fun.
Definitely. I mean, even back to what you said at the beginning is like, do we write or do we make something that's for social media, or do we make something that's for us? And I think like there's a lot of bands, you know, I think when you're coming up and you're creating your band and you're creating like your fandom, it's like, yeah, I kind of want to jump in on that because I want people to see us and hear us and know who we are. But as an established band, it's like, no, I want people to know who we are. I don't like it just ends up being more authentic. And I think that's just what's going to stick with people more often than not. Like, than creating something just for discoverability or for virality. It's like, no, be you. Like that in the long run, that's going to be so much better for every band to do.
I think like it's very important to hold on to your individuality. I think, you know, While She Sleeps, excuse me, While She Sleeps is lucky enough to sort of be that band. I think we could write a country record and it'd still sound like While She Sleeps. But a lot of bands don't have that, and I think individuality is key in you know, you can find so many bands out there nowadays. You know, it's so easy to find bands, and I was having this discussion with a friend the other week. Like, I don't know if it's easier for bands now or harder. I can't work out if you know, platforms like Spotify and things like that, they're obviously making it a lot easier for your band to be discovered, which is a great thing. But then at the same time, there's that many bands out there that are doing a similar sound or whatever to you, then like, does that make it harder to break through and become like a new band on a scene? So I get all those little factors that you have to take on board, and then you might see someone doing something cool online and you're like, let's just fucking go for that, like it's working for them. So I don't know if it's easier now or harder, but yeah, I would just say that individuality is always the way forward, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that it's good that that you're able to like make music and put it up online, and it's easy to find. It's somewhere people can go get it. But standing out in that crowd on a large scale, I think it's obviously like here the difference between like the UK versus like America. Yeah. It's like we are going for like our city, right? Like we would be like in our area of the United States. If I get a bunch of fans in that area, I'm gonna feel great about it. But I'm not necessarily looking at like, we're in Chicago, so we're in the middle. It's like, I'm not looking at New York or LA. I'm just like, I'm fine with whatever I have here. If we have a crowd here. But I wonder if it's different in the UK, where you're like, no, we have to kind of get the whole up and down of it in order to like make it or do something with it. Or even Europe.
I feel like for me, like it's mind blowing that our music is listened to so far and wide. It's like you were just saying, like, we're very lucky that that has happened. You know, I sometimes scratch my head and I'm kind of like, people like hearing me do what I do. Like, that's mental. But if somebody would have told me, you know, in a few years you'll have listeners across the world and those sorts of things, and you'll be playing like arena sized venues and stuff like that, I'd have probably had a nosebleed and just passed out. You know what I mean? Because you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, you're trying to. You want to get there, you know. It's where you dream of kind of getting to. But I guess you have to put the graft in. You know what I mean? And we've been doing this a lot of years now, so it's nice that, you know, we can look at our Spotify listeners and people listening to it like in fucking New Zealand. Do you know what I mean? We've been there once, and that was recently. But until that point, we'd never been there, and that's another crazy thing. It's like, you want to go and play in all the places that your band's being listened to. But again, it's like, sometimes it's not that simple. It's not that easy. But yeah, the whole journey is mind blowing. And it's kind of difficult to summarize and sometimes look back on, because you're just like, we've been through so much as a band, as a group of mates. But it's amazing that we all have the same goals. You know what I mean? We all have the same level of commitment. Because again, that could be another tough thing about finding a band that can even get out of your local area. Is like, you might have four great dudes, but the drummer's not with you, and then you might not be that easy to find another drummer that's just as good, you know what I mean, and has the same level of commitment. So all these factors blow my mind that While She Sleeps is still a band now, still touring the world, still writing records. Like, it's awesome.
I just saw a tweet the other day and it said, stop going to college, we need more drummers. And that's just reminded me of that.
It's like, because of how, I mean, like going to the suburbs here is like, okay, there's a bunch of houses, and so you can play drums through all the middle of the night, but then you're in the city where there's more drummers. And it's like, for some reason, every band has the same drummer. Like, it's one guy in like four different bands. Cause it's like, yeah, we can't find anyone else who has like all the gear, who like can carry it, who has a practice space. It's like all these different like qualifications that this one drummer needs. And it's like, yeah, I'll play in five different bands, whatever. Every drummer I know.
My sister actually learned drums when she was younger. She was really good at it, and then she just stopped. And I'm like, no, I could have been your manager, because I can't play or do anything for shit in a band other than that. So I was like, can't believe.
Got a cool story about looking for a drummer. So when I was in my very, very first band when I was a kid, probably like 16, 17, something like that, we're trying to make a metalcore band. And we didn't have a drummer. Or the drummer that we did have was in another band. He was drumming for two bands, and he was really into like pop punk. So he wanted to go and do that. And we were like, all right, sound, no worries, we'll look for someone else. So he kind of drummed for us a little bit at practice so he could still get through that. And we put an advert in our local music shop for someone to come and drum for our band. Put the advert up, and then a couple of weeks later, someone gets in touch, and he had a very, very strong Polish accent. He was from Poland. Mm. And I was just trying to get across to him that we wanted to be like a metal band. So can he play double kick pedals? You know what I mean? And he was kind of like, yes, yes, of course. You know, if that sounds Polish, I don't know. But yeah, sure. he had an accent. He was like, yeah, yeah, of course. And I just, like, a couple of, like, a week went by, and I was just worried that he's going to turn up and not be able to play fast double kick pedal. Anyway, so the day of practice, I got in touch with him again. I said, look, just to make sure, we need fast kick drum. Like, that's the main thing. We're playing like metal. We want it to be quick and heavy. He was like, yeah, yeah, I've got it. No worries. And I was still skeptical. Anyway, he turned up, and he was honestly absolutely phenomenal. Like, crazy good. All over kit, cymbal work, quickest drums I'd ever seen. And it turned out that he'd done some session, like fill-in session work for Cradle of Filth as well. So this whole time I'd been doubting him and like being like, oh, he's not going to be able to play drums, and trying to find like bands that he would definitely know, like you know, In Flames, right? Well, it's kind of like that's kind of what we're going for. And he just turned up, absolutely smashed it, and yeah, turned out he'd done some work with Cradle of Filth, so he was more than qualified. But yeah, it's just funny how things work out.
So he didn't stay with the band though. He was like,
yeah, well, he drummed for us for a while. Then I think our guitarist slept with our other guitarist's like girlfriend, and then it all collapsed. Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The internal band drama.
That's the story. You're gonna do that in front of Cradle of Filth session drummer? How dare
How
you?
How dare you?
Yeah, that's it.
It's like,
how dare you expose him to the harsh realities of the world?
I've definitely been in bands with people where I'm like, don't anyone fuck around. He's too good. We need him.
We need to be put together.
Get your shit together, because we can't lose this drummer. I've definitely, yeah. You got to hold on to the guys, you know, that are good. Keep the other guys under wraps. Like, keep it together.
I have to say, just right, on like holding on to guys that are good just made me think like, oh, if one of the guys left, what that'd be like. But I do have to say that I think that Sean Long, our guitarist, guitar playing on To The Flowers is some of the best like lead work he's ever done. And I don't know if he'll watch this, but just if you're into guitar work, check out that song. It's really good. He hates sort of the... He doesn't like to be the show-off solo guy, so he's always trying to find ways around that to be like... He wants to do lead, but he doesn't want it to be like, you know, like a Guns N' Roses type, like... You know, he wants it to be a bit more like subtle and there, but I do have to say that his guitar playing like is crazy anyway. And I love just sitting in the studio here where I am today and just sit behind him while he's putting riffs into the songs and just love watching him play. But yeah, shout out to Sean. His guitar playing on that song is fucking awesome.
Look, guitar, you don't have to be Slash. And you can still make very cool stuff, and you're still very like the talent level sometimes is like, I know how good I am, and so I know to pull it back.
That's
and
it.
I know to write good
That's
songs.
It, yeah, for sure.
And
for sure.
Metalcore, sometimes the guitarists are like, no, I have to shred. You have to see how fast I can shred. If you don't see how fast I can shred, what are we doing?
Chill out, bro.
Dude, no one cares.
It's like, you don't need to be doing this, homie. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
I've argued with all my friends about it.
Hey guys, guess what? We have more Emo Social content for you that gets left on the cutting room floor and just extended interviews and all other shenanigans over on our new Patreon. Well, not new, a little bit revamped Patreon. So just for either free 99 or $1 a month, if you want to get access to a little bit more content, you can support us in what we're doing here at ESC and all the content that we are putting out. And of course, just consume more of us in our maybe bad takes. You can check it out through the link in the bio or simply search on Patreon Emo Social Club.
Cool. Just to be sure we have time for all of our six questions we ask everybody, we'll just go into those now. Again, feel free to repeat yourself if it makes sense. This is the stuff we're going to chop up for social media. So this is going to be the viral stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll just run through the questions and you just answer, you know, however you need to.
Yeah, I'll try.
First question, what is the most emo song you are listening to right now?
Ooh, good question. I really like a band called Parting Gift. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're kind of a UK band, but they were kind of doing that real sort of early, you know, like early, like The Used or something like that. But it's got those wicked melodies. They're called Parting Gift. So yeah, I've been listening. I listen to them quite frequently. They're like up there for me. I think they're a great band.
Hell yeah, I'm gonna check them out now.
Yeah, you got us when you said like early emo. We're like, oh, like the OG Copypasta. You said The Used, and we're like,
yeah,
oh,
that's our like the stuff we grew up on. Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's
yeah,
perfect.
Likewise.
So,
I remember seeing a Box of Sharp Objects music video, the one where Bert McCracken like is playing slaps with his tour manager and does a backflip and then he pukes up. And I was like,
yep,
that guy's my idol.
Yeah. The greatest band.
Imagine
in the world.
Coming home to your parents and you're like, I just saw this guy and I'm going to be like him. You just show it and they're like, absolutely not. Like, we're sending you away.
I loved everything about Bert McCracken in that era as well. Like, just his like long hair and just the pink eyes makeup and like just baggy pants and one glove or whatever it was. Like, he's just cool as shit.
God damn it, he's so cool.
The one glove influenced many people, me
really
as
did.
A high schooler.
Yeah, it really did.
But we're going to talk about what inspires you with this next question. What was the inspo for this song, for To The Flowers, and also overall for like the album in general?
I think like the main inspiration for the lyrics, I think, were that, you know, it kind of, you have to try and learn to prevail through hardships in life. And almost like life is what you make it and what you take out of it. Because at the end of the day, we're all to the flowers. We're all going to be dead and buried. So are you going to leave a positive legacy? Are you going to just enjoy life and live life to the fullest? And I think that's how the lyrical content for the song came about. Sean had the demo version and we set about trying to put lyrics to it and things like that, and then it just turned into what it turned into. You know, I said before about sort of trusting the process, and like we're all high as the gods and as low as the demons. It's like, it's just that roller coaster that life takes you through. You know, like I said earlier, one day can be the best day ever, the day after that can be the worst day ever, and you don't know what's coming. So it's kind of like, appreciate what you have in the moment, enjoy the times that are good, and try and learn and prevail through the difficult times. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, I guess.
Excellent lessons. It's like one of those things where you're like, yeah, that is true. That's so good. Anyway, I'm going to have to go to the store later and I'm going
to
forget all
this.
Like, God, I'm like, yeah, it's like one of those lessons where you're like, I keep this in mind. And very luckily we have music to remind us of that.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said earlier about my lyric writing, like I can be fueled by so much hatred at times that makes me write like disgust. Like in Brainwashed, I remember writing a lyric and our bandmates were just like, I don't even know if we can put that in a song. It's like, it said something like, you're a living abortion, a vile creation, but let's make the best of a bad situation. And I guess that's like a bit like what To The Flowers is kind of saying. It's kind of saying like, stuff can be fucking shit sometimes and you can be fueled by so much negativity, but try and live in those positive moments and take out of those things some lessons, I guess.
I like those lyrics.
Yeah, those, I was about to say, like, bars. First of all, you're your own band. You can put whatever you want in there. Yeah.
Bars. All right, next question. Obviously, you're from the UK, and we're from America, so I don't know all the cities and all the stuff. But which specific like area of the UK are you from?
Specifically Yorkshire.
Okay.
It's kind of, I don't know. In Yorkshire, we kind of consider ourselves to be a bit northern, but we're actually nowhere near Scotland. So it's kind of like, if you've got Scotland at the top, and then like, imagine that London is a bit further down south. We're kind of like floating in the middle. We're from a place called South Yorkshire. Sheffield in South Yorkshire, basically. Yeah, it's a hell of a place.
Yeah. So this question is, how is the music scene in the city? So it could be where you're from. Obviously, London being the largest city. So if it's like, you know, where is the, what's the music scene like there? But if you have a music scene where you're from and the venues and the bands that like you grew up with there, just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the music scene in Sheffield, where the band is from, is good, man. Like, we're lucky enough to have a city that, you know, it's always like great for different cultural experiences, but also there's a lot of different bands popping up in different genres. There's always something to go out and see. Like from Sheffield, just off the top of my head, we have like Bring Me the Horizon, Malevolence, and While She Sleeps. And that's just to name a few that are doing well kind of thing at the moment. But yeah, it's a good place to get out there and see new music. And I think that's why it inspires so many people to be a part of their own band and do that sort of thing. And I think a lot of the times as well in the UK, it's very grey and it's quite rainy and stuff as well. So I think that we all get pissed off and just want to start a fucking metal band because it's so grey all the time. Do you know what I mean? And it's something to do indoors with your pals that's like exciting. So I guess, you know, Sheffield's good for that, for sure.
It's just like the normal like ways of like adolescence. It's like, yeah, you go to school, you come home, you start your angry metalcore band. Yeah. It lasts or it doesn't last, and then you move on.
Yeah, it's like football and then playing in a band.
Yeah. It does feel like per capita, there are more bands, especially like heavy bands out of the UK than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one because like if you look at a place like America, it's so huge compared to like the UK. So I guess that in a sense is quite tough to get out of your local area and be the best band in your local area because you've probably got like 15 bands quite close to you that are also trying to do similar things or be in bands. So like, yeah, although we are like a small country, we do, you know, we do have a lot of music coming out of here and, you know, it is good for that, for sure.
Perfect.
You also, so you mentioned Malevolence and you actually have a collab with them on this upcoming album. Yeah. But aside from that, what other collabs would you like to do in the future if there was like no boundaries, no limitations?
Oh, wow. I mean, I think collectively we all, through the years of being in While She Sleeps, we've all like adored a band called Thrice for so long. They just did the Artist in the Ambulance reunion, like the Artist in the Ambulance anniversary tour that I went to a couple of weeks ago. So I think it'd be awesome to get an ask from a band like Thrice if we wanted to collab a song or something like that. But like off the top of my head, anyone ever, you know, Lemmy might be a good one, R.I.P.
But okay.
Like, you know, one of the godfathers of fucking rock right there, you know?
Yeah.
get the hologram in, let's go.
Cool. The next question. You skipped around, Lizzie. Screw me up. How were the singles chosen from the record? And are there any other songs from the record that you think should be a single that aren't? Are there songs that, like, really stand out to you on the record that are not the singles that people should definitely be listening to and on repeat when they finally get the record in their
hands?
Yeah,
for sure. I think that's kind of a hard thing to do sometimes when you're trying to give people a snapshot into what the record has to offer. So picking singles is kind of like a harsh way of being like, you know, we put out a single, but we're like, but expect the unexpected. The record doesn't all sound like this. So it can be tough. I think that that's what we've tried to do, make sure that we put out songs to give listeners a piece of everything that's to come from the record. One of the songs was written quite earlier on in the writing process, and I was like 100% sure it was going to be a single. That was Rainbows. Just because I think it holds a little bit of everything that we're about. It's got hooks in it, but it's got a big chunky riffs in there too. So yeah, Rainbows, I would say. But for me, the song that I'm enjoying most at the moment is Enemy Mentality. I'd like to see that as a single at one time, or Leave Me Alone. But yeah, I think that the record goes all over the place. So I'd like to think that when people get hold of it, they'll just listen to the whole thing and you know, make their own opinions kind of on what should be singles, but I definitely Rainbow should be a single and hasn't been chosen.
It's very yeah, it's very like,
make it so.
I think a lot more records now are just developed to have all these different types of sound in it, and then I generally think that like singles are kind of a thing of the past, and obviously like every song on the record ends up being kind of a quote unquote single, or at least like you're writing songs that are more like, you're not going to release a 7-minute opus, like multiple movements as a single, but like, I don't think people are writing them as much. And also if they are writing it, they're probably making it like really good and maybe it could be a single, I don't know, but it does feel like that's kind of gone away in the past and people are just writing more like good songs on the record and like you can listen to any of them. So I always think it's interesting when, you know, those conversations come up. It's like, how do you pick? Like, how do I summarize this record as all of its genres into one piece and go, fans, please love this whole record?
It's like I'm picking my favorite children right now and you need to make me feel less bad about it.
And again, though, that whole thing comes back to like the compromise of what we've learned as a band, like growing together and being in the studio and touring. It's like, you know, you've got to compromise. And if 3 out of 5 vote a certain way, you know, you just go with that.
It's that democratic in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, as a vocalist, do you ever go like, nah, this is the better melody, like, we got
to
put this out?
No one listens to anything I say.
You're like, you don't know how to play any instruments, can
you? I mean, you don't play anything, you don't get a say.
You're in the studio, you're sitting there, you can make some executive decisions. You just go to the computer and you just start pushing things around. Yeah.
No, I'm listening to for sure, but yeah, it's just how it happens sometimes. But yeah, like you say, it's tough to choose singles and give people a snapshot into what the album holds. I think we've done that well enough, bringing out some more heavier stuff, and then the first single, Self Hell, was like a bit like a nod to like early nu metal vibes.
Hell yeah!
So yeah, there's a bit of everything in there for sure.
Nice. And then our last question for the questions we ask everybody. Obviously, you are going on tour this spring here in the States. Can you tell us a little bit about what fans can expect from it?
Well, I will say this. Like, we've gotten used to playing a lot longer sets than what we're going to get on that tour. And we're quite an energetic, explosive band. So for this tour coming up with Architects, I think we get like 35 minutes on the stage. So we're just going to go ape shit. Like, it's gonna be for anyone that gets down to that show, well, not for anyone, everyone should get down to that show early.
Everyone's there.
And yeah, we're just gonna start the party in exactly the right way. Do you know what I mean? Get the crowd going, get the crowd pumped. Like, for us now, playing 35 minutes is a relatively short set, and we're an energetic band anyway to see live, so it's just gonna be balls to the wall. Like, we're just gonna go out there and get the job done. And then what's nice about that is we get to come off the stage, be around the merch desk, meet people that are going to be at the show. I love to do that when we're out in the States, obviously, because we're not there as much as we'd maybe like to be. Hang out, you know, smoke a bit of weed, meet people, and then get to watch our friends in Architects smash the set as well. So it's going to be a wicked tour, and we're so stoked to get back out to the States with new record as well. And looking forward to it.
35 minutes of heat.
Just straight bang, just bangers only. Just like keep hitting it.
Straight up bangers and blood, sweat, and beers, I guess.
How did, is there anything special about how the tour came together with Architects, and how, like, did Architects ask you to open it, or how did that come about?
Yeah, for sure. They reached out to us and asked. We just basically filled in for Spirit Box on a couple of shows in Europe, so it was great to see the Architects lads again. Not seen them for a little while. They just said, you know, they were just kind of like, a few months prior to this, we're just like, we're thinking about doing the States again. The funny thing about the story is they've not been back to the States since the last time we did a tour with them. So both times they've been out to the States, we've been involved. But we love those guys, do you know what I mean? So it is nice to feel like the touring party will be like familiar, and we can just, you know, get our chill on and be comfortable, and there's no like awkward meeting people and stuff. Same again with Mice and Men. Over the years, we've done a lot of stuff, a lot of tours and stuff with those guys, and So it's going to be a really sort of friendly hangout kind of tour. So yeah, they asked us if we'd be keen, and it worked with our schedule. Obviously, with releasing this record, we were looking to get over to the States and play some shows to support Self-Health. So yeah, it worked out perfectly. And yeah, like I said, we're stoked to get out there and have some fun.
Those tours where it's like, clearly they're all friends and clearly they've all done tours and shows together, always have the best, like the sets always seem a lot better on the,
like everyone's having a good time. Yeah. Everyone's vibing. Sometimes you'll have somebody run off stage and like, you know, not meanly fuck with the band. Yeah, they're like, hey, them, I'm yeah. here too.
Yeah. I jumped up with Architects when we filled in some shows and did a song with those guys as well. So that might be something that we look to do on this tour, which would be cool for any fans that like, you know, like Sleeps and Architects, you know what I mean? So yeah, like you say, it's just going to be really comfortable and a lot of fun. We literally can't wait for it. Like, so. But you're not going to make the
excellent.
Show. So.
I'll be able to make
she'll
it.
She'll be
this
there.
Is, this is a good thing about being a duo is that we just split.
Yeah. as we're talking about like our childhood influences, like if it was any band that wasn't Say Anything, I'd be like, okay, maybe, right. But it's like one of those bands that playing a full record that I'm like, Say Anything. I
fully understand that. It's all good. I don't really know much about Say Anything, strangely. So I'll have to have a listen. Was there any record we recommend a specific album that I should check out or?
Yeah, Is a Real Boy. That's the record they're going to be playing.
Yeah, that's like their bigger record, like
yeah,
their biggest record. For,
it's not metalcore. It's very like emo, like singer. It's almost like singer songer-songwriter. Like he's a very good lyricist, cool. And so wrote a lot of like crazy lyrics on it. And it's like a bunch of songs on an A side of the record, and then he released like an EP with it that has another single on it for some reason and a bunch more songs. And I'm like, I don't understand how this worked. Every song is a fucking hit. So I don't know how you did it, but fantastic job. And now that he's going on tour with it, I'm like, well, I can't miss that. And then everybody starts booking more tours in Chicago throughout the summer. And it's like, this is going to be a conflict that I'm going to have to deal with a lot, apparently.
No, it's all good. If it's that sort of thing for you, man, like you've got, there's no chance you can't go to that. Do you guys know a band called Ghost Atlas?
Yeah.
So I heard that. I think it's more of a solo guy, right? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's the lead singer from Era.
Yeah, so I heard Ghost Atlas and then was really into their stuff. And then I heard, when he joined Era, I didn't know it was him. So I heard him on a track and I was like, that sounds so much like him, and went and looked and it was him. But that's kind of like a good emo sound too. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've been blown up on Sirius Octave. So we always come back to it. So I heard it and I was like, who is this? And I'm like, I've heard this band before. And I went back, I'm like, oh, yeah. So I had the same thing. And I'm like, I feel like we need to be more vocal when a solo artist goes solo. I mean, like a band guy goes solo, because otherwise everyone's going to be really confused.
Yes. Yeah.
It's when they say, like, just use your own name instead of using, like, a band name. And, you know,
what if your name isn't that cool?
I know. You got to go. Ghost Atlas is a phenomenal name. Like, you can't not use that band name.
Yeah.
Even if it's just you. Can't not use that.
For sure.
Well, sick. So that's all of our questions. So now it's just an opportunity for you to plug yourself, the band, where people can find you on the internet, where they can buy tickets to this tour so that they don't get left out in the cold. It's not gonna be cold in the States during May.
What weather I should expect over there when we saw that?
Warm and maybe rainy.
Yeah, maybe rain.
It's rainy today.
But you're from the UK. You're used to
rain's fine.
Yeah, so it's more of that, I guess. May is it gets a little bit warmer. It gets a little bit nicer here, so you should be fine.
Sweet. Well, yeah, I'd just like to say, you know, thanks for the interview. Thanks for your time. Emo Social Club. You can maybe chop that. That wasn't too good.
It's okay.
So I just wanted to say, like, anyone out there in the States or Chicago in particular that love our band, you know, thanks for the support over the years, or if you're just getting into us, thanks for that, you know. We always appreciate it. We don't overlook that in any way. We're not you know, we're not dumb to the fact of, like, without our fan base, we won't get to do what we get to do. So any support that's given to us is much appreciated. Our new album, Self Hell, drops on the 29th of March. I do believe there's something in the record for everybody, no matter what sort of genres that you like, or whether, you know, or whether you're quite an open-minded listener. Like, I think there's something in there for everybody. Stoked to be over in the States with Architects and Of Mice and Men. Don't know where you can get tickets, but if you want to go, I'm sure you'll find them. And yeah, we'll see you pretty soon. Can't wait.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Laz, this was amazing. Thank you so much for making time for us during daylight savings time and in the time difference overseas.
No problem at all.
We appreciate it. Yeah, and Lizzie, we'll see you when you're here in Chicago.
Yeah, I'll be there at least.
I've been saying to people from the States that are coming to our show that I set them a little dare to be the first person to crowd surf to our set when they come and see us play. So I guess that's on you.
Yep. And I am a crowd surfer girl, yep, so don't worry.
I'll be looking out for you then. So
I usually have a big bow in my hair. I just threw a hat on. So if you see just like an enormously big bow, it's probably me.
Oh, I'll look out for it.
There we go.
Sick. Well, thank you again, Lars, for hanging out with us.
No, thank you. Yeah. All the best with the Emo Social Club. Thanks for having me, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you for checking out this episode of the Emo Social Club podcast. If you're listening and if you're watching, make sure you subscribe to our new YouTube channel, the Emo Social Club podcast. Let people know where they can find all these interviews. If you enjoyed this one, they got to know. They got to find out. Hit like, hit a subscribe, hit a comment. And if you're listening to this on a podcasting app, the YouTube exists, but also 5 stars on whatever podcasting app you're listening to this on. Maybe it's Spotify. Maybe it's not. But 5 stars, I know they got it. I know they got a review on that site. So 5 stars, give it to us. Now, that's where you can like, comment, subscribe in the podcast form. We will return in another 2 weeks with another interview. Until then, we have a lot of other videos coming out on our main channel, Emo Social Club. You can always check it out there. We will have an episode in a week from now. It just won't be an interview. It will be a reaction. It will be us talking about some stuff. It will be us commenting on emo things from the internet. So, you know, it's fun. It's just not us talking to While She Sleeps again. As much as I wish I could talk to Laz every week. He's awesome. But yeah, until next week, until then, until the next time we see you, from all of us here at the Emo Social Club, I am Brian, and goodbye. What's up, sports fans?